The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. Well, they were talking the talk last night. Senate Democrats, right?
They got
a lot of walking to do to get health care reform passed. I mean, Senate Democrats were all historic and weepy positively last evening when they rolled out the $849 billion and 2,074-page health care reform bill. It's less than $1 billion a page by my math.
Good math.
But, you know, we should get that fact checked. But probably over the next few weeks, every one of those pages could be rewritten as this bill faces a tough fight in the Senate, and it's got to be resolved with the House of Representatives. So maybe it's the case that the main event yesterday on Capitol Hill was taking place over in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
If we captured bin Laden tomorrow, would he be entitled to Miranda warnings at the moment of capture?
Again, I'm not. That all depends. I mean,
well, it does not depend. If you're going to prosecute anybody in civilian court, our law is clear that the moment custodial interrogation occurs, the defendant, the criminal defendant, is entitled to a lawyer and to be informed of their right to remain silent.
Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee wanted answers from Attorney General Eric Holder, who faced senators the first time since the Obama administration announced that a civilian trial would be the place for resolving the issue of the purported 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. There will also be military tribunals for other detainees at Guantanamo Bay Detention Center, which the Obama administration has promised to close as early as next year. Joining us, Todd Zwillick, once again, Washington correspondent, and also Professor Matthew Waxman, who's an Associate Professor of National Security Law at Columbia Law School. Good morning to both of you.
Hi, good morning, John.
Good morning.
So, Todd, first of all, what was it like in that hearing room? I mean, this was a very different scene than Alberto Gonzalez being questioned about politics by Republicans and Democrats.
Well, it was, and the tables were turned. You know, Democrats, as you could predict, were very supportive for the most part of Attorney General Eric Holder's decision to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others, by the way, in the Southern District of New York. Republicans are livid about it, I think, philosophically and ideologically, but they also see an important political element here, which is a lot of the public sort of reflexively reacts to the idea of treating someone like the 9/11 mastermind as a civilian criminal defendant as opposed to a war criminal or an enemy on the battlefield as kind of repugnant. Republicans know that. So they're also playing to the cameras, but there were some pretty interesting legal concerns raised that Holder had to deal with as well.
Professor Matthew Waxman, is what Holder is doing something that's been dictated by the Supreme Court or the rule of law, or is he making a judgment call here? And what do you make of the Republicans' suspicion that using a civilian court is a sign of a weakness in some way, leaves us vulnerable?
Well, I think it probably is a judgment call, among a range of options that the government has. Since 9/11, there's been this fundamental debate about whether we should approach counterterrorism as a matter of law enforcement for our criminal courts, or as a matter of war, in which case the president can capture and detain enemy combatants and perhaps in some cases prosecute them for war crimes in military tribunals. What we see the Obama administration doing now is on a case-by-case basis sort of straddling that debate, really saying that in some cases we will prosecute in federal court, but we will also keep open the option of prosecuting some Guantanamo detainees or others in military commissions, and still others we may continue to hold pursuant to war powers without any trial at all.
You make a good point. All the options are still on the table. But what do you make of that exchange with Lindsey Graham saying that Osama bin Laden would be read his Miranda rights?
Well, you know, I think what we heard was Attorney General Holder not wanting to be pinned down on that precisely because the government is really trying to keep its options open, especially in some extreme cases like Osama bin Laden. I think the government wants to keep all options on the table, not necessarily commit itself to going the federal court criminal justice route as it's going with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in part because it doesn't want to limit its own flexibility.
But isn't there also a question of the fact that Erica Holder is actually correct, that all of these legal issues do depend on the situation? They depend on where bin Laden is actually apprehended, if he's apprehended. They depend on a lot of things that play into the legal system that are complicated.
I think that's right. I mean, we have a very rich set of traditions of our criminal law. Some basic building blocks that go back centuries, but many of the details about exactly what rights attach at what time, et cetera, are hard to determine in this new context of facing a transnational terrorist organization spanning continents. And so you're absolutely right. Depending on the precise circumstances. Where is he captured? What is the role of U.S. personnel or foreign personnel? Into what kinds of justice track might he be moved? All of those factors are going to impact the set of rights to which he'd be entitled.
Well, Professor Waxman and Todd Zwillick, it was remarkable listening to the hearing yesterday how much is up in the air, even though Eric Holder tried to say, no, in fact, things are locked down. Here he is talking about his decision to have Khalid Sheikh Mohammed tried in a civilian court.
He will not select the prosecution venue. I will select it, and I have.
Now, Holder says he selected the venue, but we don't know, actually, how Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will plea. Right, Todd?
No, we don't. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had initially wanted to plead guilty and be executed in a military tribunal several years ago when it became clear that his plea might make it impossible to execute him. It was rescinded. We have no idea what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed would do in a civil setting. There's just no way to know. And one of the key questions here, Republicans were saying, why a civilian court? Eric Holder keeps saying, there's things I know about this case that I can't share, either because they're classified or because I don't want to prejudice the case.
Dying to see a civilian trial here, just me personally as a journalist. Professor Matthew Waxman, very quickly before we go, what do you make of this plea issue? Can he plea any way he wants at this point?
Probably, and there's some question about how he's going to plea. I mean, we've seen in the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he's somebody who likes actually to brag and boast about his terrorist exploits, but we don't know exactly how this one's going to play out. I mean, one of the virtues of our system of justice is that it's very open and transparent, and that's what, on the other hand, gives him perhaps a platform for propaganda.
Well, a virtue to some, not so much for the Republican senators who were yesterday in that hearing with Eric Holder talking about the decision to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a civilian court. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent, thanks as always. And our thanks to Professor Matthew Waxman, Associate Professor of National Security Law at Columbia Law School. Thanks so much.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.